An album after its release consumed this band for almost a decade. It was also the biggest selling album of 1980 and also eventually led to the demise of the band itself. It was 1979 and Pink Floyd had returned to the studio, this time in the south of France, to convene, continue and hopefully finish what would become The Wall. Of course, it was completed, and after its release, it literally self-consumed the band itself. Roger Waters at the helm, of course, dictating in a song sense a young boy's life and exactly how things would transpire, both in happiness and in misery, and on occasion, sheer pain. Pink Floyd really are considered a shy band. But after the release of The Wall, there was just no two buts, ifs, or about it. I mean, they had to go massively public. They had to perform this album live, which they did. Now, here's a clincher, or should I say the rub, in my case. The first concert I ever saw, the first major concert with more than, say, you know, a few hundred people, and on this occasion there were over 35,000, was to see Pink Floyd, The Wall. That was my first concert. Now, I need you to imagine after that point how let down I was from every band I saw after that for about a decade following. While Gilmore and Roger Waters had a fairly positive, constructive, professional relationship, everything else had really almost but fallen apart. Pink Floyd, of course, went on without Roger Waters. There was a lot of to and froing, a little bit of litigation, a lot of things happened. But nonetheless, Gilmore, Mason, they all performed as Pink Floyd, barring Roger Waters, which seems a bit ironic in a way. But at the end of the day, to be perfectly blunt, without Dave Gilmore... Now, I don't want to get into an argument regarding Roger Waters and Dave Gilmore. It's just not kosher. I mean, both are extremely talented, and we all know, I've seen Roger Waters live as well, perform, I think it was The Wall, like 40 years afterwards. But it's just not fair, reasonable, to say who's right or who's wrong when it comes to Roger Waters and Dave Gilmore. I mean, it's possibly too late for the two ends to meet, to let bygones be bygones, to... do something fabulous, but I guess they already believe that they have been doing something fabulous and they've completed that run. Despite the success of The Wall by Pink Floyd, I mean, the band members suffered. The band itself suffered. I mean, fans didn't even know that Roger Waters had sacked keyboardist Rick Wright until the release of the final cut in 1983. So there was a lot of misgivings. From beginning to end, The Wall is a story. It's a story of Pink. And that's all I can really say. The rest is up to you to perceive, to listen to take in, whatever you may not. It has a different effect on different people. It's the only way I can explain it. It's not something which can be explained. It's an album that you turn the lights down low, take something and get yourself relaxed and enjoy. That's The Wall. They even made a movie about it. In the end, it all was money, I guess, and they had to go extremely public, and that's exactly what they did. Of course, the song Another Brick in the Wall is part two, I should say, is initially the hit, I guess, from the album that everybody is familiar with. But of course, there are so many other great cuts on the album. Uncomfortably Numb would have to contain one of the finest guitar solos ever performed from a studio in terms of being technically and melodically perfect. There's not much I can tell you about The Wall by Pink Floyd that you probably don't already know. It's an album, it's a movie. If you've never experienced it, give it a shot. It's one of the world's best rock albums ever. Well, I'd love to stay, hang around, and do a little bit more for you, but unfortunately, I can see that the lynch mob is already assembling in the foyer. Until next time.